Thank you for that warm introduction. Thank you. Thank you very much. $20 waiting for you outside the door. Appreciate that. Amen. Hey, let's turn in our Bibles. I want to, you know, the Lord has spoken a powerful word to us the last two services. And so I'm going to parlay with that. And I believe God got something He wants to really pour into our spirit. And I had a conversation with somebody this afternoon, and I was meditating on this for the past, must have been at least 2 months now, and I was just waiting for the right time to bring something out, and I believe we have arrived at that right time. So 3 John, let's go to the book of 3 John, and so I wanted to have our visitors here tonight. Thank you for coming. Lord bless you folks. We're just family. We just have a nice, this is called Paina Night. And we just sit down and have, we kowkow on the word, and then later on we're going to kowkow on some kaon, some food. So praise God for that. Hey, if you want to take some notes, it's going to be well worth it. We're going to go through a number of scriptures only because we're going to use that as a foundation. How many of you know without a foundation you cannot build? Well, you can build without a foundation, but you're not going to stand. You know, I was looking at, I won't even share that. It has to do with a team from the North Shore, so I'll leave that alone. But anyhow, 3 John. Verse number 2, listen to what it says. This is very, very, very powerful. Beloved, listen to this now. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, over the next several minutes, I ask that you'd speak to every single one of us, young and old, that's here right now. I ask, God, that you touch those listening to this audio transmission, wherever they may be, that, God, they'll receive revelation like how you shared with us in the prior services. God, like how you touched us in our worship time. Now, we're going to worship you through the declaration of your word. We know who we are. We know what your word declares about us, and we know who you are. Now we have come to be recipients, to hear from you, that we can leave this place changed and understand beyond the shadow of a doubt, you, God, nobody else is like you. We honor you and we thank you for Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, being our Lord and Savior. Thank you for Uhani Himalele, Holy Spirit, being with us. In Jesus' name, everybody can say, amen. Bless God. Now, let's kind of go over the previous lessons that we taught. Then it's going to come right to here. I spoke a message called the Good Man of the House, and that's taken from Matthew 24:43, where the Lord Jesus said, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. In that lesson, I began to speak about how we are the house and we are the good man. So we have to protect ourselves. We have to watch over ourselves. And one of the points I gave was always know and be aware that a thief is watching you. Now, the metaphor that the Lord gives, what he alludes to here in Matthew 24:43, is that a thief is out there and wants to rob your house, wants to break in. So I asked the question today, what's your worth? How much do you think you're worth? And so if you come up to whatever figure, what are you going to do to protect that worth? It's like if you buy a car, you know, one of the good things for you to do is put an alarm system on it. It's going to cost you a few dollars, but it's going to be worth it. You don't have to stand out there and watch your car the whole time because it'll sound off for you. It's same like your home. So what do you do? What lengths are you willing to go to protect yourself and your investments? John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then in Romans 13, verses 11 through 13, the Lord spoke and he says to the Apostle Paul, he says, and that knowing the time, Kairos time, it is high time that we awake out of the hypnotic state that we're in, this sleep that's self-induced. We have allowed ourselves to be put to sleep. And the Lord says, it's high time we awake out of that sleep. Because enemy is around us and the enemy seeks to really destroy us, but he's not going to get away with it. The second point I gave was guard your heart and your entry points. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Lord says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in the faith. See, and then he goes on to tell us further things in verses 9 and 10, but your enemy works every shift. I made that point. He works every shift. And if you call in sick, he'll go to your house to get you. He'll go to your job. He'll go to the school. He'll go to the mall. But if you call in sick, he'll meet you where you're at. This enemy is tenacious. The enemy that we fight is a tenacious enemy. And he will not let down, not one iota. So you and I have to, as believers in the Lord, we should not give place to him. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give place to the devil, the scripture says. Our third point was, you can't afford to be lax. And then we use the word lax, and we defined it because it lax means deficient in firmness, not stringent, being loose and open. So you cannot, if you're going to guard yourself as a good man of the house, you can't afford to be lax. And we took our scripture verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and 20. We're going to expound on that in this coming up lesson right now. Now, the second time we spoke, we talked about taking accountability. And one of the things we said was accountability means responsibility. And we camped out in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25 from verse number 2 all the way to the concluding verse. I think it was verse 44. And in this, we see the story of Abigail. We see the story of her husband, an idiot named what? Nabal. And then we see the story of David. We see the story of David's men. And then what was going to transpire just there in chapter 25, David was not king yet. And the Bible says, our scripture text was in Psalm 14, verse number 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we define the word fool. And a fool is what? A person lacking in judgment or prudence. A harmlessly deranged person or one lacking in common powers of understanding. So we read that Nabal, the husband of Abigail, was a fool. And yet the Bible says about her, the testimony about her was she was a woman of understanding and she had a beautiful countenance. So we understood that a pretty lady who was very smart was married to a fool. And we also made the point that still happens today. Now, anyhow, point number two, and that was irresponsibility brings misfortune. Everybody say irresponsibility brings misfortune. And as we began to go down through scripture verse, there in verses 12 and 13, it says David got mad when Nabal says, I'm not going to do anything for David. Who does he think he is? And David says, okay, that's it. Told everybody, hey, get your swords on because we're about to kill this joker. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill his wife. We're going to kill everybody that's on his property. But guess what? We come to point number three where we found out about the rewards of accountability. And from verse 14 all the way down through verse 44, we learned that Abigail was a woman who was good with her mouth. This woman was intelligent, and this woman was destined for being a queen. But currently, for many years, she was living with an idiot. So it matters not where you're currently at, because if God wants to shift you, follow His rules, and He'll shift you. Somebody say amen. So now, in this teaching, I want to talk about, and we use 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things. Now, the word all means everything, right? I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. And be in what? Here's the magic word here, because we always come up to get healing, but why don't we get health instead of healing? He says that you be in health, even as your what prospers? Your soul prospers. Now watch this. It's going to be a really good teaching. I'm going to talk about understanding spiritual warfare. Now, you know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, we pump a lot of verses, you know, especially like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You know, it says, finally, my brethren, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the spiritual wickedness in this world, against spiritual wickedness. And man, he goes down to lay the four levels of demonic activity that you and I must contend with as believers in Yeshua. And that's wonderful. It says how you need to put on the whole armor of God. You get the helmet of salvation. You know, you get the football cleats for your shoes. And then you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then you have the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. You have your loins girt about with truth. All these things to protect you. Because God says, this is what you need to do. You need to protect yourself when you're engaged in what? Spiritual warfare. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I really didn't touch it in the second service or the first service, but I want to really touch on this just 5 cents, just a little bit, and then we'll use it as a springboard, and we'll dive in many other verses, and we'll come out, you know, smelling good and looking good too. Verse 15 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That's a powerful question right there. So it says to you, who do you think you are? Do you know who you are? Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? He says, no, don't be prostituting yourself. Don't be jumping in bed with anything. Listen, he says, God forbid. What? Some of our children say that every time we tell them to do something. What? Verse 16. Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now, that's true. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one what? So where would you rather be joined? With the Lord or with the devil? Well, you want to be joined with the Lord. I mean, come on. That's a no-brainer right there. Your name's not fool, right? All right. Verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now grab this. You might want to highlight this. If you have a yellow marker, purple marker, pink marker, whatever you have. If you have a pen, draw an arrow. The Bible says right here, look at this. It says, you sin against your own body. And then verse 19, there's that word. It says, listen. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now, we often think of the Holy Ghost walking alongside of us because he is the paraclete. However, he wants to dwell in us. Jesus is not going to live in you. Jesus is in heaven right now. The Bible says he is sitting next to the Father. So Holy Spirit is in us. Now watch. Which you have of God, and you are not your own. So I don't know if you have room there on your notepad. You can put, I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. So therefore, you can just kind of do what you want to do with yourself because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. So you got to get his permission to do what you want to do. And if you're going to do something sneaky, he's going to say, no, you cannot do it. Verse number 20, for you are bought with a price. See, I asked you the question, how much are you worth? You are bought with a price. You see the cross right there? Jesus had to go, not on this cross, but he went on a cross. Why? Because that's what was required to buy you, to buy me. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Underline this. In your what? Talk to me, church. This is a Pentecostal church. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are what? Oh, that's powerful right there. He reiterates once again. He says, you don't own yourself. See, a lot of us, when we purchase a car, unless we pay it off, you know, we make like we're the legal owner, but you're not because you're still owned by the bank. Now, they're a bunch of crooks, and that's just another lesson that I'll go down another day. But right now, okay. Now let's look at something here. As believers, we know that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare every day. This war intensifies the more that we yield to Holy Spirit and the ways of the Lord. The more you say yes to God, the worse the attacks come. The more you say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Even if you're by yourself or you're with a team, he will intensify, the enemy will intensify the attacks against you. This war we are engaged in is fought daily over the possession. Listen to this. I'm going to share something with you. This war that we are engaged in daily is for the possession of our health. More than just our bodies. Now I'm going to share some things with you that hopefully will help you. So let's go to James chapter 4. Point number one, we need to get a wake-up call. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look what it says in James chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Now let's say we're just talking about us as individuals, okay? We're not talking about inside the church. We're not talking about on our job, at school. Let's just talk about us as individuals. Your person, okay? Listen to what it says. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even your lust that war in your members? Now consider what I'm telling you. There's a spiritual warfare and it involves your health. And so all of these things that's going on in you, all the hakaka that's going on inside of you, is going on for a reason. It wants to stop you from doing the will of God. The enemy wants to prohibit you, wants to put you in ill health so you can't make a mission trip, so you can't do what God wants you to do. And so he'll keep you home in bondage, just chalking down all the medication that the doctor said you got to take. Why? Because they found out there was something wrong with your body. You lust. Look what it says in verse 2. You have not. You kill. You desire to have. And you cannot obtain. You fight a war. Yet you have not because you ask not. Now, we're talking about asking God. We're not asking somebody. We're quick to ask a doctor. Doctor, what shall I do? And what does he say to you? You put the lime in the coconut, you drink them both up. Put the lime in the coconut, drink them both together. Put the lime... No, he doesn't say that. You ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss. Look at this. You ask amiss, or wrongly, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now listen to what God is saying. And this is James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, but Holy Spirit is speaking through him. Then watch, he cuts to the chase, right? He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know something, saints? Whosoever therefore, you know, you should put an arrow right here. No, I got a pen right now, put an arrow right here. Because we want to be pallies with everybody, right? This is what the Bible says. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, check this out, is an enemy of God. Now identify yourself right now. Are you a friend of the world? You're an enemy of God. I'm going to tell you right now what the Bible says. So now we have to correct ourselves. You know, I saw this movie one time, and the guy needed a character witness because he was trying to adopt a child. And so the guy said, okay, I'll be sure not to lie. And the guy said, no, listen, just don't remember the things you shouldn't remember. Because this guy was going to perjure himself. He says, no, just don't remember the things you shouldn't remember. Because the guy was a hoodlum. See, sometimes we want people to character witness for us, and they got a bad life. So Holy Spirit will always be our character witness. And then he'll convict us if you're out of order. See, I'm going to read that verse again. Watch this. What it says here. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. Let me tell you right now, it is so easy for us to be a friend of the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. However, right here, James is trying to tell us something else. He says, if you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy to God. Now, I don't want to see myself in that light. Do you want to see yourself in that light? That you are an enemy to God? No, we don't want to. So we need to go over our list now and go and look at who our friends are. I'm not telling you to discard your friends. What I'm trying to tell you is prioritize your life so that your friends will not become an anchor when they should be a life support. I would rather have a life preserver than an anchor. Come on, somebody. You yelled in a water and somebody threw you an anchor. See ya. You want them to throw you a life vest, you know, throw you a life ring or something. Do you think the scripture saith in vain? Watch. This is a small s. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Now, you know, Holy Spirit would not cause you to lust to envy, right? So this is a small s here. That means not Holy Spirit, your spirit. Look what your spirit is capable of doing. To cause us to lust. Why? Because we're a friend of the world and not a friend with God. We're an enemy of God. But he giveth, talking about God now, more grace. Wherefore he saith, God, now watch, resisteth the proud. But in place, what does he do? He giveth grace unto the humble. That's why I say, no grumble, be humble. It makes us laugh, but that's the true statement. You know, because most people grumble, and when they after they get through grumbling, they get mad. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Okay, they got their raise, you didn't get their raise. Don't grumble, be humble, because your day is coming. So it says in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. How can you ask God to make you be more submissive? You can't. You got to submit yourself. You have to be submissive. You have to bring your no good, nasty carcass and say, God, I am so sorry that I'm a friend of the world. God, I hang out with more people who are opposed to you than I should. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Now, what else does it say here? The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Well, you try doing that right now. Just resist the devil and see what's going to happen. He's going to call you in the car. He's like, who do you think you are? You ain't got that kind of firepower in you. That's why you got to know who you are. See, one of the problems that we always come across is people just, they don't know who they are. I'm not talking about your ethnicity. I'm not talking about your last name. I don't care about your family. I'm talking about who are you? Who are you? God gives you X amount of years to live, you know, and so when you live your life should be lived for him, not for you. It's very, very important. Watch this now. It says, draw nigh to God, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will walk away from you in a hurry, right? No, it says he will draw nigh to you. Did you get that? If you get closer, the closer I get to you. When you get closer to God, you find out God is not walking away. That doesn't matter how you smell. God will stay there. He don't give you a dollar. He give you more than $1. But he's going to parlay on that testimony right there. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. All right. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. That means you're always vacillating. You're never concrete in what you're going to do. Well, I think I'm going to go there. You said you're going to go. Yeah, I think I'll be there. No. Tell me. Make it definitive. You're going to be there. Oh, yeah. I think so. I'm going to be there. I may not be there, though, but I think I'm going to be there. Look what the Bible says over here. It says, purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. You know, one of the things that we do is we laugh a lot. Now, I like laughing. I'm a humorous person. I like laughing. But sometimes we can laugh so much, we put ourselves in a predicament. So we have to learn, right? That balance, 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it brings brevity to our life. It tells us, hey, come on now. Come on. It says, look, your joy to heaviness. Now look what it says. The man, be humble, don't grumble. Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So who's going to have to humble you? I don't care if you got to call an 18-wheeler to do it. You got to humble yourself. Somebody told me recently, the Lord told her, you sassy? I said, really? He told you that? He said, yeah, he told me I'm sassy. I said, well, you're one of the bad girls of the Bible then. Because the Bible has bad girls in it. Jezebel's one of them. Her daughter Athaliah is another one. You know, and so you don't want to be a bad person. If you are a bad person, quickly repent. Whereas the people found out who had the contract to refurbish the building, repaint is what the painter said. Repaint. No, I'll show you something else. It's a wake-up call. We have an internal struggle going on right now within our bodies that will affect our health. Do you believe that? God's desire for his children is that we prosper and be in health. Now that phrase means we need to be free from sickness and diseases. Now, I was going to ask you to do something, but you probably don't have it with you. But if you, most homes have a medicine cabinet. But we have so much medicine, it cannot all fit in the cabinet. Now, we pop in things, and there is a spirit that's inundated in America. It's called the spirit of pharmakia. Now, pharmakia, I taught on this before, but this is, now I'm going to come from a different angle. Pharmakia, generally when we talk about it, is in the negative because we're talking about, it's always negative, but in the negative, it talks about drugs. The word sorcerers or sorceries in the book of Revelation actually is the Greek word pharmakia. The root word there being, so when you understand pharmakia, that means you got something that's going to control you. You know, I'm sharing something with you right now. I know we have a police officer with us, but I did this a long time ago. I repented, so he cannot do nothing to me. Watch. Years ago, when I was in high school, I started taking drugs, okay? Like my peers. And so we decided we're going to try a hallucinogenic. Yeah, that's a big word for LSD. And so we took LSD, and my God, the things that happens to your mind. And that's what they call tripping. And so I started tripping. I would trip at 8 o'clock in the morning. I would trip at 8 o'clock at night. I didn't matter. I like tripping. So, you know, I mean, we never had enough money to take a trip, but I could just this small tab. I took a trip. And so when I would be on the trip, the wildest things would happen to me. And you know what I found out? The smarter you are, the worse trip you get. So I had good trips. And so I wasn't smart. See. So anyhow, so but the smart guys, the guys with the two pencils on the ear, they couldn't handle. These guys almost committed suicide because why? They were too intelligent. And you see, when you take a hallucinogenic drug, it alters your mind. And if you're a brilliant person, your mind comes up with all kinds of stuff. You see, those of us who weren't that brilliant, we had half a pencil, you know, not alone. This guy said two, we had half. So our minds, we just, you know, it's like the commercial they showed. Remember that? They had the frying pan, the heat was burning. They said, this is your brain. Well, you watching that? Crack. This is your brain on. That's it. Or another commercial said, this is a Republican. That is a Democrat. Anyhow. So when we understand that God wants to bring health into our lives, how many of you can stand to use a healthy body? No, you go out there, you go to the spa, you go to the gym, you pop your pills, you know, you drink orange juice, you drink apple juice, you do all these things. Wonderful, that's good. But you know what? You can still get banged and get hurt or killed. Pistol Pete Maravich was a very good basketball player. He dropped dead, had a heart attack, and died. Just recently, somebody else just dropped dead, and they were in the top shape health. What happened? Something in their body went amok. So I'm going to tell you, you and I, from the eldest to the youngest, we're in a spiritual warfare. And so tonight, I want us to concentrate on this warfare being our health. Now, I think we all could use to improve our health, especially me. What do you think? How about yourself? What do you think? Well, he's going to say a loud amen. All right, this is point number two. Help me out there, Sandra. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's a powerful scripture verses here. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. What are we talking about? Understanding spiritual warfare. All right. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, how many of you know you walk in the flesh? I don't see anybody over here hovering, so you walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh, amen? Right? You don't war after the flesh. See, he's going to tell you once again, it's going to validate. The scripture's going to validate itself. It's going to tell you, your fight's on the inside. Watch. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you got some, you know, the enemy is not a weakling. No, I hear plenty of preachers says, you know, he's a roaring lion, but he has no teeth. Then Bronco get the strongest gums in the universe because he's chewing people up with his gums. I'm trying to tell you something. This enemy is wicked. This enemy is vile. And this enemy has a rap sheet on you. He knows everything about you. He like God. He knows everything about you. The enemy. He knows how you act. He knows how you can make your wife or your husband mad. He knows everything about you. He knows how to push the button. Now watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare, we have weapons for the warfare. And they're not something that can be obtained at Walgreens. You can't buy it at Long's. You can't get it any place else, even if they are open 24 hours a day. How do you deal with a demon? You can't use pharmakia, drugs, right? So you got all these kind of drugs. You got what? Ice. You got cocaine. You got, you know why we went to Afghanistan? We went to make sure that they did not ruin the opium harvest. From the beginning of time, drugs has been sold. It would have made sense if America went up there and wiped it all out. No, we're not going to wipe that out because they know, barato, we need the barato. So they grow the opium there like they do over down in South America. And then we also seen it during the Vietnam War over in Thailand. We saw it in Vietnam. They had a place called the Golden Triangle. A man named Hun Sa, he was controlling everything. And then America came in with the aircrafts to airlift things out. So you need to understand what goes on. Listen, in Matthew 4, the devil says to Jesus, I own the world. This is my kingdom. So every kingdom has drugs. I was in Tonga, and the chief magistrate in Tonga, Miley, you were there. The chief magistrate in Tonga asked me a question. He says, Doc, what do you think we should do with somebody who is caught with possessing drugs? I said, first offense, yeah, 5 years. He says, 5 years. Oh, what about the family? I said, well, they should think about that before he had the drugs. Second possession, 10 years. Oh, well, what about if they caught the third time? 15 to 20 years. No probation. Oh, we cannot do that because, the village, we need everybody. And they need their... I said, listen to me. Maybe right now drugs is not a big problem in Tonga, but it will soon be. Because drugs won't touch every nation. Every nation. None is exempt. I said, drugs has killed my nephews because they were stupid enough to play around with it. I said, it's going to touch your family. It's going to touch the king's family. It's going to touch everybody's family. But then there's going to be some people who will say, I can sell this and make money. That's why drug dealers are no good because they don't care about people's health. Ah, warfare. So one of the ways of warfare against you, spiritual warfare, is drugs. So there are many, many different ways. I just want to get us going to be. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, verse number 5, casting down imaginations and what? Every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at verse number 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So how are you going to come against disobedience unless you are obedient? Jesus said when they accused him, they said, you know what? He's casting out a devil by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. And Jesus looked at them and says, dude, a kingdom divided cannot stand. How are you going to fight against yourself and try to make it in life? So Jesus, he did a good one on them. Listen, I want to talk to you about this. You see that word up there? What does it say? Autoimmune disease. You ever heard about that? You ever heard of that? Well, let me share some things about this that's really going to open your eyes. Let's define the word right now. Autoimmune. It means you're accustomed to riding your car. No. Autoimmune means of, relating to, or caused by antibodies, or T cells that attack, look at this, attack molecules, cells, or tissues of the organism producing them. What? You mean there's something in your body that's attacking you? Yeah. I'm going to share some things with you. Now the word auto, A-U-T-O, auto, you look at the root word there, it means same, self, and self-acting. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. It'll blow your proverbial mind. Without taking drugs. Now watch, I'm going to tell you something right here. God created our bodies to be able to fight invaders. Do you believe that? The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So God created our bodies to fight. Not fight the invaders. God created our immune system to maintain our body. So think about the word autoimmune, right? The average person develops a mutant cancer cell or two at least 200 times in a lifetime. You know that? Your body. Watch this. Because we have a healthy immune system and the killer cells are active and in full volume, they recognize that mutant cell or the viruses or bacterium, and they attack and they destroy it. That's why somebody who has acquired immune deficiency syndrome, we call it AIDS, what happens? It attacks their immune system. And before you know it, they go kaputs. Why? The thing that was in them to prevent things from happening has been dealt away with. But we're talking about spiritual warfare now. Here's something else that happens. God created our immune system to protect us, not to destroy us. Now let me share this with you. There are what's called autoimmune diseases. Now, you know, I got this book here, and it's called A More Excellent Way by Pastor Henry Wright. And I gotta share this with you. This some powerful stuff in here. Because there are certain diseases that's created because of the autoimmune system of our body. You ever heard of Crohn's disease? What's Crohn's disease? Okay, Crohn's disease is a disease in which the white corpuscles decide what you have is not a virus or a bacterium, but it is the lining of the colon. What? That is the enemy of that person. In autoimmune diseases, the white corpuscles are involved. In other words, when you look at this, you find out one thing that's very, very true. Listen to this. Listen to this. White corpuscles is supposed to take care of invading enemies. But now they have decided that we are the enemy and is attacking various parts of your body. So your body's turning on itself. So you got this spiritual warfare going on in you. The spiritual implications are incredible in that as we attack ourselves spiritually, the body eventually agrees and starts attacking itself in destruction. How do you attack yourself spiritually? Well, I don't think I could ever do that. I know what God says, but I don't believe. You start destroying your own self. You self-destruct. And the enemy now is really trying to pull your line and say, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not able to do these certain things. You're not able to get away with it. You got to tell the devil, shut up and go to hell. If you don't tell him, who's going to tell him? You got to tell the devil, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want nothing to do with you. Are you strong enough to tell the devil that? Huh? Listen. When we begin to look at what's going on, in the case of Crohn's disease, it can be diagnosed by the excessive presence of white corpuscles. And when we look at this, I'm going to bust this thing down for you, because Crohn's disease, according to what this book is telling us, this guy's a doctor and his studies, right? And he's put this thing out. He says, listen, this thing is something that is happening on the inside of us. Watch this. I'm going to show you something over here. Stress and anxiety, things that are bugging you long term, lack of trust, even feeling like you don't belong, can cause you to have problems on the inside. Now watch. I'm gonna show you something else over here. Your nervous system is like a bunch of electrical cords. It is the electrical part of your creation. There's an electric impulse which travels down your nerve into what is called the dendrite. It arcs across the nerve synapse. It connects to the receptor cell, and my hands goes. It's because I'm connected. But when this thing begins to fight in you, you cannot connect. See, there's a warfare that's going on with us. And we're quick to run to the doctors and get medication. You know, medication will just tide you over. But it's not going to eradicate the problem. I often wonder why America have the Centers for Disease Control and not the Centers for Disease Eradication. I would think you'd like to do away with the disease, but they really don't want to do it. You know anybody with diabetes? Listen to this. Because we're talking about autoimmune disease. It's attributed. Watch this. The root, the spiritual root behind diabetes, watch, extreme rejection and self-hatred coupled with guilt. Now, before you react, listen to what this. In many cases, these people who administer to folks have found that there was a direct rejection, listen to this, by a father and sometimes a husband or a man in general. Think about that. If we're fearfully and wonderfully made, we're bringing sickness into our own body. And our body that was created to fight for us now fights against us. And so it attacks the very thing it should protect. Diabetes can be inherited because an unloving spirit can be inherited. A broken spirit or broken heart is implicated also. There has to be an absolute change in that person, allowing them to receive the love of God in order for them to be healed of diabetes. I'm going to talk to everybody with diabetes tonight. We're going to go to the cross. We're going to nail this sucker. We're going to take him out. Because this is not right. This is not right. We're in spiritual warfare, and we're going to be educated on this one. We're going to come out of the dilemma that we currently are caught in. I don't want us to just be people, well, oh, you got your medication. We don't need that no more. We're going to believe we'll stand on God's word. You know, fear can be inherited, right? Right? Allergies can be inherited. Many of the things that we deal with can either be developed in our lifetime or we can inherit it from our family tree. Go back and check your family tree. Now, some people, they feel they're victimized. Some said they find rejection. They feel rejection. Some people feel, well, I haven't never been nurtured. And so they feel despondent. And they bring in sickness. See, the enemy, he's smart, this joker. He got legal access. It's like a lawyer. They have legal access that you don't know about and I don't know about. They speak a lingo we have no clue. And the devil says, fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll make this joker suffer. Listen to me. If you're sick, you have a hard time working for God. If God wants you to send you some lace, but you can't go because you're so sick. So what's the remedy here? Stay home and just, you know, pop pills? No, let's go to the root cause. Let's find out what's going on. Do you agree? You ever heard of lupus? Lupus is an autoimmune disease in which the white corpuscles attack the connective tissues of the organ. Lupus is rooted in extreme self-hatred, self-conflict, and includes guilt. Performance also may be implicated. MS, multiple sclerosis. It occurs when the white corpuscles decide the myelin sheath of the nerves is the enemy. Recent investigations have shown it's not just the myelin sheath that's affected by the attack of the white corpuscles, but that the nerve itself is damaged. Now listen. The myelin sheath is like the insulation around the nerve, just as rubber insulates the outside of an electrical cord. And if this is attacked, you're in deep trouble. MS, multiple sclerosis, occurs when the white corpuscles come like a modern-day Pac-Man and take a bite out of the coating around the nerve, effectively short-circuiting it. It isn't that there is a problem with the muscles. It's that the nerve that causes the muscles to work has been short-circuited during the nerve transmission process. That's called sclerosis. And in multiple sclerosis, there are many of these holes created. And the recent medical information is that the nerve itself has also been severely damaged in advanced cases of MS. So this autoimmune thing, it leads to many different diseases. Listen. MS is rooted in deep, deep self-hatred and guilt, and spiritually it is very close to diabetes in that it involves a father's rejection. Listen to this. This preacher says, the father is responsible for the spiritual welfare of the family. The father, not the mother, is responsible for his daughter's value system and her self-esteem. What you just testified about. Think about this. Rheumatoid arthritis. You ever heard of that? Another autoimmune disease. It affects the joints of the skeleton, the tissues, the cartilage, and the connective tissues of the skeleton. It acts on the bodies like this. Your white corpuscles, there you go again, white corpuscles. Your white corpuscles decide that the bacteria and the viruses are not the enemy, and they attack your joints and cartilage instead. So you got a warfare going on inside of you. What do? Run off and go see who all the doctors that we want to see. Get lomi-lomi, get all the different things. But you're not taking out the root cause, see. Now, the Bible says there in Proverbs 26 and 2, a cause curseless, a curse, cause that shall not come. So you got to have a cause for you to have a curse. So a curse causeless cannot come. And so go check on your life. See if you got a cause for this to happen. You know, hatred is deep, and it runs in families. I mean, people, for any reason, they hate. But that also leads to sickness. Listen to what this doctor says, this pastor. The only way to be healed from rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases, listen to this, is to accept yourself once and for all and to get the self-hatred and the guilt and the lack of self-esteem and the junk out of your life. Hence,
You have to guard your entry points.
When I began studying this a couple of months ago, I was like, Lord, how do I bring this out to the church? Because, you know, I mean, I'm not a medical doctor. And this book was on my shelf for the longest time. And the Holy Spirit says, go get that book. Man, I don't know. I've underlined so many things in this book. And I'm like, this guy's a preacher. This guy said, I stake my ministry on what I'm telling you. He says, because we see people delivered from these diseases. You know, your head going to tell you something. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Your head going to tell you, this is impossible. Don't believe what he's telling you. But the Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says God has made you. He got you numbered. He knows everything about us. And the enemy hates you because you're a threat to his kingdom. And so he wants to keep. This is a church that births missionaries. But many people left our church. Why? I don't want to be missionary. Why? Because there's a heavy fine to pay. And so I commend those who stick around because, guys, we got to do this. God says we got to do this. Do you believe it? You really believe it? All right, we look at some other things here. Just a few more. Parkinson's disease. In the case of Parkinson's, preacher says, my initial investigation indicates unresolved rejection, massive amounts of abandonment and rejection, and hope deferred. What the Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we go right back to the scripture. The scripture says, you can get out of this. As a point to ponder, personal and family involvement and spiritual error may be implicated. Hey, what about addictions? Watch this. In dealing with addictions, dopamine is very important to pay attention to because dopamine is the pleasure neurotransmitter of the human body. You ever heard of dopamine? Now watch this. The body produces it very slowly, while serotonin can be replaced very quickly. In fact, cocaine, watch, is a very unusual drug because cocaine is not chemically addictive. Cocaine is psychologically and spiritually addictive. And here's the reason. The mechanisms of cocaine are that when a person takes a hit of cocaine, it releases dopamine in mass. It is equivalent to a massive orgasm. There is a huge release of dopamine that can never be duplicated a second time. And that is why once they've had their first hit, they can and never will have the same rush ever again. They try and try, but what they don't understand is that they'll never have it because the high is coming from the release of dopamine. It's not the drug that gives them the fix. It's dopamine being released that gives them the biological fix. That's why people on cocaine are very tormented. Watch. All addictions are rooted in the need to be loved. And the Bible says God is love. Think about that. And what the medical field feeding us? Oh, they're addicts on that. Because the medical field is incapable of loving you. The government cannot love you. Medical science cannot love you. God loves you. I'm going to share this with you. I know we have kids here, but I'm talking about masturbation. Watch this. Masturbation usually begins in childhood, not necessarily because of lust. Listen to this. But coming out of families that are full of strife. You see, a child learns that when a house is filled with argument and strife and the tension is building, an orgasm will give him or her a type of physical release from that tension. There's also a release of dopamine because when you have an orgasm, dopamine is the neurotransmitter that when it is released gives you that fulfilled feeling. It's a neurotransmitter and it gives you a neurological, biological fix. Think about that. A child grown up in an atmosphere full of tension and strife will get a temporary relief from what? Masturbating. But what comes in behind it are the feelings of uncleanness and guilt. Same thing with cocaine. Right after it comes the feelings of uncleanness and guilt. We have a vicious cycle of release and condemnation. Cocaine and masturbation are very similar in their spiritual implications. A release and fulfillment and a guilt. A release, fulfillment, guilt, and condemnation. The enemy certainly knows how to work us over.
Some of the mechanisms of dopamine and cocaine.
America has been in a yo-yo. Cholesterol, according to medical science, is needed to grease your veins. The worst thing you can do is remove all of your cholesterol because you have high triglyceride levels and or high cholesterol levels. It doesn't mean it's caused by what you eat. If you're avoiding fatty foods to keep cholesterol down, that's not the issue. Why is it that some people eat whatever they want and never develop a problem with high cholesterol? Why do others have a problem? It's because certain people have a predisposition to high cholesterol and others don't. There's a spiritual component to high cholesterol. In the veins, the inside is hollow and the blood runs up and down inside like a drinking straw. In people who have a predisposition to high cholesterol, something is on the inside that's reaching out and grabbing the cholesterol and binding it to the cell wall. That plaque finally thickens and thickens and thickens until you have the potential closure of the vein or the artery. The mechanisms that cause the plaque to form and to collect have a spiritual root. Cholesterol is directly related to people who are very, very angry with themselves. There is a high degree of self depression and what they've against themselves. They've always putting themselves down. It's more than merely putting themselves down. They are hostile against themselves, very angry with themselves. Self-mutilation is a national epidemic today, especially among the youth. It all begins with rejection. The beginning of all disease is the separation from God, separation from your own self, and separation from others. Shingles and hives, acne. All these things goes on and on. Why? Because of the autoimmune disease that's in us. There's your warfare right there. There's your warfare right there. I'll let some of you read this when I'm through. This is very powerful stuff. You know, it's like taking the wrong pills. I mean, you shouldn't be taking pills, but it's like taking the pills that's not going to help this. You know us, we locals, we borrow pills from people. Oh, I get so sore. Oh, I take this. This helped me out there. How much you take? Oh, I take two. Real sore. Take four then. We compound the problem. You know that's the truth. I called my friend. I was suffering. Uncle V. I called. Oh, Uncle V. Anyways, I asked Uncle V one day. I said, I told him, I'm suffering this. He said, I get something that can help you. This thing will knock him out. It's called Vicodin. Really? I never heard of Vicodin. I was like, really? Bring it. Pastor Wayne just delivered to me a full bottle of how much? 300 super Tylenol that get muscles from Popeye. And I was popping that and nothing was happening. I had this pain in my sciatic nerve. It was pain. He even deals with sciatic nerve in this. And the bottom line was, I started taking, I think Uncle V gave me like 12. Wasn't long, it was gone. He told me, he says, how the thing working? I says, I pop them like candy. The thing ain't working. What? I went to my doctor. I went to the doctor. First I went to all my friends. Stupid. So I go to my doctor. I said, Doc, I have this problem. He's like, okay. Well, let me prescribe for you Vicodin. I said, I tried that. That don't work. Where'd you get that from, my friend? He said, you can't be taking your friend's medication. I said, it never worked for me. So I guess maybe it works for him, but it don't work for me. He said, Paul, you cannot do that. Okay, let's try this one over here. Next time I went back, I said, hey, Doc, I tried that one. That don't work. He said, then the dosage got to go up. I'm like, do what you got to do because I still have the pain. See, I'm trying to tell you something. What should be helping me is hurting me. But if the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, we're off kilter here somewhere. Something is not right. We need to get back online. Do you agree? So how do we get back online? It's the cross. Here's point number three. You know, Luke chapter 13, verse 11 to 12. I want to just read the scripture, verse 3 for you. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Listen. There's something alien that is an intelligent, invisible being that afflicts man's flesh and tissue. You can't kill it, you can't destroy it, but you can divert it. And so I have tried casting it out, and it has worked. Talking about the spirit of infirmity. Why is it that we have a virus sitting around, hanging out, doing no physical harm, and then it's released because of another spiritual problem called fear, anxiety, and stress, and it does damage the body? Do you think there's a connection there? He says, if it is possible to make a virus to go dormant forever if we deal with our spiritual problems, an interesting question is this. He says, can that happen? Sure it can. The Bible says something in the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'm going to declare something right now. You might want to grab onto this or what? But all forms of sickness is oppression from the devil. And if you see yourself popping pills every time, that's oppression. And the devil wants to keep you groggy enough, right, so that you cannot think right. I talk to a lot of people. You know, today, what's one of the things they give young children today to quiet them down? Ritalin. They say, don't you ever take Ritalin, because that thing is no good. But they give that to kids who are hyper. Children are children. You don't do that. But you see, pharmakia / pharmacy makes money. So they don't give a rip about you. As long as you keep buying the prescription, they're going to sell them. I have a friend said, I don't buy them in America tomorrow. I go to Mexico. Well, it doesn't matter if you go to Canada. Drugs is drugs, whether they're north or south of the border. Say amen, somebody. So what do we do with ourselves, though? What can we do about this? Well, go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Powerful word. Jesus gave this. He came out of the wilderness. You know, he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He was hungry. He was thirsty. Verse number 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hope you're getting something out of this, guys. I got irate when I started studying this stuff. Jesus said unto them, look right here, verse number 23. You will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. That's my third point. You're the physician, heal yourself. Now, you can do it with the help of God. I'm just trying to tell you. You maintain yourself. You'll be all right. You cannot leave it up to somebody else to come and check on you. You got to check on yourself. Somebody else is going to come over there and say, oh, you're taking your medication. You got to do it yourself. Right? So it is with your life. You got to check on yourself. Not because you don't like the person. It's that, you know, you're busy yourself. So you got to maintain yourself. Listen to this. Jesus says, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Listen how Jesus reacted to them. He says, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. That's the truth right there. But I tell you of a truth, he says, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3.5 years, when the great famine was throughout all of the land. Look at verse 26. It's very, very powerful. But unto none of them, widows, was Elijah sent, except when he went up to Zarephath, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 27 says, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. What's God saying? God says there were many people sick, but none went to the root cause. None went to get help. Physician, heal yourself. God said to Elisha, he said, listen, Elijah, you need to go up here because there's a woman. She really needs your help. And he goes up to Zarephath, and the Bible says, he tells her what to do. She gets healed. And the thing about Elisha and the man Naaman was the captain of the Syrian army, he couldn't get healed over in Syria. So he comes down and he sees the man of God over in Israel, and he says, go dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan. Go 7 times right now. The water didn't clean him. It was obedience and moving by faith in the word of God. Listen to the man of God. Yeah, write this thing down. I was sharing this with somebody, a friend of mine recently. Listen to this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you agree with that? But listen to me. God doesn't inhabit your faith. The Bible says God inhabits your praise. So you need to have faith and praise working together also. Because God will inhabit your praise, but you make him smile when you show up with faith. So you got people who are only faith, but they don't know how to praise. So we need to have that balance. Above all things, I wish you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In John chapter 20, let's go to John chapter 20. Now, Luke, John chapter 20. I've used this scripture many, many times. It's a release scripture. John chapter 20, verse 23. Remember, it talks about rejection. Your daddy did this to you. Your papa did this to you. Your brother did this to you. I was talking one day to this one person. And in fact, they called me. And they said to me, "You need to help me." I said, "Why?" They knew me and I knew them. I said, "Why?" They said, "I just remembered something." I said, "Oh, what?" "Oh, I remember I was molested." I'm like, "Really? There's a person up in age already." I'm like, "And when did this happen?" "When I was a teenager." I said, "Well, we got a big gap over here. How do we remember this?" Listen to this. This is what they told me. I talked to the individual. They said something. It triggered in me. And this is what they said. "I hate him. I hate him. I said, whoa, 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 whoa." So all these years of hatred has kept this person sick. Go to the doctors. The doctors don't know what's wrong. So I brought him to this scripture verse over here. My uncle who molested me was dead when God showed me the scripture verse. It was there while he was alive. I just didn't know the scripture verse. I said to the Lord, "Well, let me ask you a question. How can I ask him to forgive me or say, 'I forgive you,' and the guy is dead?" You know what God said? "Just speak his name. I will credit it to you." All right? And here's a scripture verse. John 20, verse 23. "Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted." That means you tear it off. It's sinned away. It's remitted to them. "Whosoever sins you retain," you keeping. You know, we hold on to things that's making us sick. You cannot change everything. And listen, if you got envy, jealousy, hatred, all these kind of stuff, you're going to get more sick by the day. The best thing for you to do is release it like a helium balloon. Let it go. Just let it go. So what happens? Family get their gatherings and stuff, and they say, "Hey, how's so-and-so still sick?" "Oh, getting worse, yeah." Nobody has a remedy. "Getting worse, yeah." "Well, can somebody tell me how we can bring them out?" "Oh, you know, poor thing, yeah?" No. We don't have no poor things in God's kingdom. We got to learn how to forgive. I'll give your daddy molested you. Forgive him. He acted like a jerk. Forgive him. Maybe your mom molested you. I don't know, because it works that way too. Well, I don't know. Everybody thinks it's only male dominated. No. It's just like spousal abuse. I seen some women whoop their husbands. You hardly hear that report, but that's true. Somebody, you know, so-and-so was saying that they're divorced now. I said, "Did she say she was mean and evil?" I'm not even married to her, and I can see that. So who in the heck like living in one environment like that? I'd have the divorce papers ready too after a while. "I understand, 23 years and now I'm divorced." What do you mean this way? Even mean horses got to be tamed. Come on, 23 years going to tame you. Shoot them. No, don't. Go on with life. Gone with life. Oh, I'm playing. Left with me. Roll with me. Why did the jelly roll? So the apple turn over. Come on. Work with me. So it's time for us to release. Amen. We got to release these things. Listen, I was raised in a housing, Camford housing, building 42. There's a stigma about living in a housing. Where are they from? The housing. That's why they act like that. Yeah, they're from the housing. That's why. Where are they from? KPT. More worse than KPT. What are you for? No. It's not about the housing. Let me tell you what. A devil is the same in a housing and a gated community. So let's get away this housing mentality. I was raised in a housing. I ain't off. I know the truth. Amen. So I stand up for housing people because I lived there 5 years. I lived there. So that gives me 5 years of talking. Okay? But housing areas attract. The enemy walks into a housing area and says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sell dope. We're going to sell this. We're going to do all this kind of stuff over here." You got to shut them down at the gate. Guard your entry gates. You go down over here, Kahlu. There's a place called Blank Village. You fill in the first name. Blank Village. Well, it's like a supermarket. You could drive in there and you could pick up drugs and stuff. And the cops all knew about that. Excuse me, officers. They all knew about that. They would bust people occasionally. You know where you can get your private stash. Even those of you been delivered. You know, right, Pastor Wayne? Sure we do. Why do you think people sit under the Kamani tree? For shade. It's 98 degrees in the shade. Too hot.
in the shade. Come on now. You know where to go. See, the enemy has his places. I started my dear friends that live out on the west side of the island. I said, if you take the map of the island of Oahu, flip it upside down, it looks like a seahorse. Kaneohe would end up being the head. I said, watch this. You come around Hawaii Kai, you come down Waikiki, and then look where the Okole parts there, the west side. I said, why you guys always get crap on your side of the island? They're like, hey, we never thought about that. I said, Hawaiian, the word nanakuli means what? To appear deaf. Why? Because they didn't have anything to share. When the people come by the house, whoo, whoo. To appear deaf, nanakuli. And still today that spirit is prevalent over there. Even with the homeless. Why? Because spirits got a domain. They don't want to give it up. They rule in different areas. That's why you cannot just go to any church. Let's say the church you like go to is an area where you're going to get killed. You think as God can send you over there? Negatory is a negative over. Contact the pacha. What's wrong with you? The bottom line is you got to go where God sends you. To go any other place is uncivilized. It's like Anheuser-Busch telling you, drink responsibly. Now here's something. I don't know if they came out with this, but if I was the chief of police, I would station every officer outside, well, as much as I can, outside Aloha Stadium when the UH plays. Tag everybody coming out. Tag them all. In fact, tag them inside the parking lot. That's state property. Tag them. Tag them in the line for the sanitar. Tag them. Breathalyzer right there. Come on, brother. Well, look how hypocritical we are. We tell them, come enjoy yourself. Tailgate. We'll be there standing for you 3 o'clock. Hey, all you guys for the what, we swap me. Get out of here already. Because we let the alcoholics come in here. And let's whip them K-Aloha. They all that shoo. You know, you keep our APPE. Oh, they going for, woo, K-Aloha, Anavaula. Oh, man, they're going. Koniau, puni, puni, ikavai, woo. And they stay up in a yellow section. In a Bob Euchre seat. I can draw better than Colt. Look, I'm better. Because you can't even go to the bathroom. But this is what we, you know, this every weekend. If there's no buy, every weekend. Our team going to fly on Aloha Airlines because they get the charter. They're going to fly to Reno. They can get tested up there in the snow. And there's some stadiums smart enough to ban alcohol. Not over here, though. Over here, make money. Think about what we're showing our children. Saw this one movie. This guy was a good baseball player. His uncle was a gangster. So the uncle know people, right? Because gangsters know people. So he says, I get you to go and see my friend, the manager, at the New York Yankees. The boy never did go. So they had a family out, and he said to the boy, sit on the beach. You want something to drink? Shh, uncle, you know I don't drink. He says, let me ask you a question. Why didn't you go see the Yankees when I sent you? He says, man, I'm all through with that. He's like 20 years old. He said, what do you mean you're all through with that? He said, man, uncle, I want to be like you. See, he was watching his uncle, who was a gangster. I want to be like you, uncle. Why? Fast cash. Easy money. You got to watch who's watching us. Remember I told you, the thief is watching. Our children is watching too. There's one word I want to give you. It's an old word. It's called observation. Okay? Observation. Consider this. You may not recognize what you're doing, but there's somebody observing you. Now, I spoke about the thief who's watching, but the person who's observing you, they're taking notes now. They're like, you know, they always seem to do this at this time of day. Now, mode of operandi, right? M.O. So we say, okay, here's a track record. This is what they always do. Now watch. And that's just your neighbor. Hence, Dr. Franks from up there in the Waialua said, love is blind, but neighbor's not. Why? Because the neighbors are observing. But you may not see it in your own mind, see? Because it's part of your vein, you know? It's, the root word there would be Yes, sir. Anyhow, but you're going after that, but your neighbor says, you know what's going on? And they may not even know you, but they're watching your MO. So that's a word to us as Christians. Watch your MO. Because you may not realize God is opening somebody's eyes. And really, they can come out and help you if you don't get offended and want to just come on, what, right here. Yeah? No. God wants to help us. God help us. John chapter 19. Come on, you hit 20 right now. Go back to 19. Look at verse number 30. The red letters is what I want to talk about. Finito. Pow. It's over. Jesus said, it is finished. What is finished? Jesus defeated the works of the devil so that you can have good health, so that we can have good health, and we can whip this thing called spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not trying to make light on anything because I'm going through an extensive battle even right now, like I'm quite sure you are. But now we're kind of more Akamai as to what's going on in us. And now we got to fight against ourselves and the war that's going on within us. How do we win this? Well, actually, I'm going to tell you already. You already won. You're just not living in the winning mentality. It's a done deal. It's over. Because the words was, it is finished. And so since it is finished, we have to align ourselves with the it is finished and say, Lord, I thank you for my health. Lord, I thank you right now, and I'm going to release. Remember that John chapter 20, verse 23? I choose to release all those who have, they've offended me, Lord. Because the Lord says, it's impossible, but offenses will always come. Everybody can get offended. I've been offended thousands, plenty of times. And it's probably not going to stop till I depart this planet. But the bottom line is, don't let offenses keep you from advancing, because offenses, if you don't watch out, you know what? It's going to make you sick. Hatred can make you sick. You shouldn't have hatred in you. Not one iota of hatred. Get it out of you. Now think about this. Man, you know, I'll have you make a list if you need to. You say, well, I did this before. Yeah, but you're still sick. Obviously, you never go after everything. You know what? It's a bad feeling when you're molested. It's a sick feeling. I'm telling you that right now. It was not happy days I hear again. And I said, well, one day I'm going to kill that joker. I'm going to kill him for what he did to me. God had to take that out. You like how Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, Abigail stopped David? Hui. Kavika, don't go there. Because one day you're going to be king. You don't want this thing to be on your record, right? Never thought about that. Don't worry, God's going to take care for you, Kavika. Come on. Eat all the food, go home now. Oh, you smart, you lady. You smart. See, we need smart people to speak into our lives. If I had children that were below the age of accountability, I would change my teaching right now. I honestly would. Having acquired this wisdom and knowledge and revelation, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to teach my kids better. I regret not knowing these things years ago when my kids were below the age of accountability. But I can reach your children or grandchildren or whatever, and please listen. I don't mean harm for you. I mean you're good. And I want you to see you can come out of the current dilemma that you're currently in, because all dilemmas are of the devil. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. Are you ready? Are you ready to make a definitive move today? You're going to have to clean out planning stuff, you know. It's altering one's lifestyle. It's changing one's mind. It's putting on and having the mind of Christ. It's not, okay, I'm going to do them in church, but I don't know, it might affect me when I'm driving home. No. We got to shut that joker down. So you know what that means? Yeah, anticipate. You probably have some struggles. But bless God, those struggles are not going to keep you back. We released a lot of information to you over the past several minutes. If you get this teaching, which you need to do, get it on CD. Get this teaching. It'll help you. Here, faith still cometh by hearing. Watch. Faith cometh by hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God. I can talk plenty and you not get faith. Because it needs to bring a revelation to your current mindset. That's where faith comes, when it can revolutionize your current mindset. My mindset was like, I was raised in a Pentecostal church with sick people. And just we were trained, go to the altar, get prayed for when they say get the oil. That's why you get oil in the Pentecostal church. Grease them, just grease them. But you know why the thing don't come out? Because these people don't want to give it up. And they're mad with us. Like one lady's just mad at me. What did I do to you? I get cancer because you. How did I give you cancer? Because how you pray. Maybe because how I pray. I have the prayer of faith. Everything else is up to you. I can't be a healer. There's only one healer. His name is Jesus. We see people, that's what they want to know. They want to blame you for everything, right? But over here, you have to say the buck stops here. I will take responsibility. Why? Accountability means responsibility. So now you can be a responsible parent. Those of you who don't have children, you plan on having them, you better know how to raise your children, right? You have to make your house a stress-free zone. I'm not telling you you're not going to get arguments, but you can cure them jokers faster than just going to sleep and tomorrow morning we deal with this. Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Right? Okay, I guess the bottom line is this. Let's live more like the Word of God says we should be living. Right? Because, well, I ain't going to eat that kind of food. Well, you know what Paul said, right? Paul says, everything God created is good. Everything. Everything. He says, don't refuse it. Eat it. It's good. But if it's going to offend somebody, don't eat it while they're there. So let's say I got some friends who are vegetarians, right? And I'm honored for some steak over there. And they're believers, and they're going to be offended if I eat the steak. I just turn like this and eat, right? Negative. No, don't offend them. Yeah, I'm just... You know how some people do in their house? No, don't do it like that. Church, we have a long way to go. I don't know who said this, if it was, I don't know who said it, Shakespeare or what. But that phrase, to thine own self be true, it's real. Was that Shakespeare? Huh? Was that in Hamlet? Oh, boy, you can have a good Hamlet omelet. But to thine own self be true. Hey, laugh up, Mr. Nancy. To thine own self be true. And when you understand, wow, the enemy now is actually altering food so that you don't get the nutrition you should get. So that actually you can eat all the vegetables you like and still not have the nutrition in it. What happened? The enemy has attacked the ground. We've put pesticides in the soil, and now we cannot produce things. And now the pesticide is going to go down into the aquifer. And the aquifer right there is the water system. And what happens when you drink the water from where, like say, Mililani, right? You drink the water, you get on third eye. So what happens? They got to pipe water to Mililani people from where? Waikane. Why is that? Because we're building houses where houses don't belong. You know, it's like 3 Mile Island. You know, you don't build next to a nuclear reactor and say, oh, but I haven't picked your window. Of what? What's that big over there, smoke stuff going on? No. Like if somebody gave you free property in Chernobyl, would you move there?
Comrade, I give you 4-bedroom house. Free. I gave to you. Comrade, you move in today. What I have view of? River.
You over there cleaning house, yeah, and you living in Chernobyl. Come on, Chernobyl? That's where they had the meltdown of the nuclear reactor. For sale, $1. I take 10 acres, $10. Because you're in Chernobyl. That's where we're at today. We're so faithful going to our doctors, aren't we? Say amen, church. Because this touched all of us. My doctor's name is Mark Schlachter. I love him. He's a Jew. Bless him. But the bottom line is, my hope got to be in God more than it is in that Jewish man. Right? Right, Sister Nancy? Yeah, my B12 sister right here. So, amen.
We want to help ourselves. Amen.
So do you think we can do this as a church? Because we need to encourage one another, each other. Right? Jaychelle's next child. We want to help her with her baby. We want to help anybody, Tara and whoever else, get the babies over here. Why is that? Because we want to make sure the enemy's not going to get the child. See, so we gotta reprogram ourselves, everybody. The enemy right now is moving and he's sweeping and he's taking over all kinds of things. In the news shortly, you're going to hear a report coming out of the United Nations. Listen to this. This is the Hawaiian Islands, right? Here's the Hawaiian Islands. How much radius do we have from shore outwards that we can claim as our place? How far out do we go? 12 miles? 3 miles? What is it? Well, normally they tell you it's 12 miles. United Nations just took over the oceans of the world. They lay claim to every mineral in the oceans of the world. President Bush told Congress, pass this bill. It's a good one. They're uniting to split the world into 10 different provinces, exactly like Daniel prophesied. So they hooked up 3 nations and now going to become one in the year 2010. And the nation is America, Mexico, and Canada. They already have the new currency called the Amero. And this is going to happen because the president has signed the bill. So what's going to happen to you? May of 2008, hello, this is November of 2007. May of 2008, you're going to have to get a national ID card, and that card will have a chip. They're getting closer to putting a chip in you. The Bible says this, and thanks Sister Carolyn, because she showed me her new passport also has a chip, and they tell you why it's best for you to have this chip in the passport. Because you can speed through the process line when you go through customs. They're going to make this thing so inviting, like the family over in Florida, the Jacobs family that said, oh no, this is good. Ever since 9-1-1, we want to be safe, so we volunteer. Put the chip in us. And now you got a family in Florida with the chip in them. See, down line, this is going to happen. If you don't conform to their image with the chip in you, they turn the chip off. And where are you going to buy and sell at? Exactly like it says in Revelation 13. But see, I believe this is like God telling us, you folks get hope. If you listen and apply the word of God, because I'm not deviating from the word of God. I kept you in the word of God when I talk about this sickness and disease, because the Bible tells you how you can get healed. Physician, heal thyself. Heavenly Father, we rebuke the spirit of fear that can bring different things that is manifested in our bodies. We bind fear in Jesus' name. We cast it out. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear, your Bible says. And Father, because you're love, we choose to love you also. If nobody in this world loves us, we know God loves us. We don't want to be the contributing factor, Lord, to this autoimmune sickness that's in bodies. Father, I thank you right now for everyone. I pray for every family that's represented here and every family in our ministry, those who couldn't make this service. I pray, God, that they'll grab a hold to this teaching. Lord God, that they can run with this and begin to teach and share with others. We honor you and we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say,